Laut salvat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. By the grace of Allah, for these 10 nights, we've had the tawfiq of discussing the hadith of Mi'raj of the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In this part of the hadith, we're going over the traits of the people of this world. There are some akhlaqi traits which the people of this world have, and those traits, if we have them, stop us from being those elite soldiers of the Imam. We know that in order to prepare the grounds for his return, we have to reform ourselves. We're not waiting on the enemies of Islam to allow the Imam to return. That's not how it works. That if only Israel would just stop being bad, then the Imam could return. No, we're not waiting on that. What we're waiting for is actually ourselves. When do we want to see that the Imam returns? Ayatollah Behjat, before he passed, he had a statement. He said that if we, the Shia, would get ourselves together, the rest of the world's easy. The rest of the people will fall in line. The problem that we're concerned about is us. It doesn't mean we are not aware of what the enemy does. Are we okay? Salawat bar Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It doesn't mean that we are not aware of what the enemy does. No, that's part of our duty also. But we are told in the Quran, لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ذَلْ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ, that the one who is misguided cannot harm you if you are guided. So Allah didn't give us the task that until the enemy stops being bad, then you can't win. No, you can win. All you have to do is get yourselves together. So what we've been doing on these 10 nights has been to discuss these traits, to try and make it personal, to see how these can apply to ourselves. And then when we hear the ayat of Quran and the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, to better ourselves by doing that. We're coming to a new trait tonight of the people of this world, one that's prevalent, and we have to see if this is in our hearts or not. وَإِنَّ أَهْلَ الدُّنْيَا لَا يَشْكُرُونَ عِنْدَ الرَّخَى وَلَا يَصْبِرُونَ عِنْدَ الْبَلَى. Surely the people of this world, one of the traits of the people of this world, أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا, is this, that when it's a time of ease and plenty and prosperity, they don't thank Allah. لَا يَشْكُرُونَ, they don't thank Allah. And when it's a time of affliction and tragedy and bala, لَا يَصْبِرُونَ, they're not patient during the times of affliction and tragedy. So, God forbid if there is, I see this trait in myself, and of course I see this in myself, somebody with a diseased heart like me, if it's the case that when everything is going well, ease and plenty, still I don't see that heartfelt gratitude. And we'll talk, inshallah, what does it mean to be, is it just to say the words, Alhamdulillah, Shukrulillah, or what do we mean when we say gratitude? That why it is that the people of the dunya, they don't thank Allah when things are going well, and when things are difficult and they're being tried and afflicted, they're not patient. on those trials. We're not going to talk about being patient on the trials tonight. Tonight, let's talk about shukr and attaining the maqam of being someone who is shakir. And see how that helps us and assists us in the cause. So, this is a verse of Quran. This is what happens is that sometimes in Quran, there are Quranic themes. Well, sometimes you'll be one verse and you won't see a verse like that anywhere else. It's an amazing verse, only one place. There's sometimes where there are Quranic themes, things Allah keeps saying again and again in the Quran. Things that we have to hear and be told. One of them is this verse. There's other verses which are similar to like this, same message, maybe a couple of words or letters changed here and there, but this is a Quranic theme. This one that I'm quoting for you is from Surah 10, and it's verse number 60. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Surely Allah is indeed gracious to the people. لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Allah is gracious to the people, kind to the people, gives to the people, helps the people, assists the people. وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. The majority of mankind doesn't thank Allah as they should. The majority of mankind are people of the dunya, they don't thank Allah as they should. What happens is that for people of the dunya, either sometimes we don't count the many blessings, because Allah is saying here that He's very generous, He's showered His blessings upon us. Either we don't count the blessings which Allah has given us as blessings, we don't even remember that Allah has been generous to us. There's another problem that happens though, and that is that sometimes I don't think of these things as blessings until Allah takes them away. When Allah strips me of those blessings, then suddenly I remember and I say, oh wow, Allah favored me, Allah honored me. So, this is one of the reasons why blessings are taken away. People who don't consider themselves blessed, don't appreciate what Allah has done for them, those are the same people who, unfortunately, in this world, Allah takes those blessings away. But first, let me quote this verse of Quran. This is from Surah 14, and it's verse number 34. وَأَتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. Surely Allah has given you from all that you ask. For some people, they can say that Allah has given me everything, I've asked and I've been given. And the people who feel this state of gratitude, like I was saying the other day, you feel a sense that I want to give back. Allah has given me everything. Allah has honored me. Allah has favored me. Allah has chosen me. Allah has assisted me. What can I do for God? So it's possible that Allah has given you everything. Some people know Allah doesn't give them everything from all that they ask. Because Allah goes by His wisdom also. Sometimes I might ask Allah for something. Sometimes if I get that thing right now, it's not good for me. It can even destroy me. And so Allah acts according to His wisdom. It's not the case, we shouldn't think that if Allah doesn't answer my prayer immediately, it's because Allah doesn't like me or hasn't favored me. No, actually it's the opposite. Because Allah cares, because Allah is wise, He gives you when you need that thing. We ask Allah, but then we trust Allah's timing. We don't, I need this now, Allah. No, I don't. I trust Allah's timing. Even sometimes spiritual states, this is mentioned in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt. Sometimes, I'm a person, for instance, the words that are mentioned in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt is that I want to be one of those people who's a soldier of the Imam, so in addition to my wajib actions, which are the first step in me becoming a soldier of the Imam and a spiritual person, I want to go above and beyond, I want to start carrying those spiritual wajibat, I even start to perform the night prayer, Salatul Layl. That's one of those spiritual wajibat for people who actually want to go on the path. One of the spiritual wajibat is that, the night prayer. The night prayer is to be offered, if we want to get the most benefit out of the night prayer, offer this just before Fajr comes in. Just before Fajr comes in. About 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes before Fajr comes in, that's the time for me to start offering the night prayer. When I offer the night prayer, then I don't want to make it very difficult for myself. Sometimes when I hear people tell me about the night prayer, then I hear, okay, wow, if I really want to make it a perfect night prayer, then I should say 300 times, Ilahi Allah, I should ask Allah for mercy, or I should ask for 40 of the believers, or I do this, or I do that. No. For people like you, like me, we're on the beginning of our spiritual journey. No, just the bare minimum. What's wajib in the prayer? You do that. Just that. We don't have to make it really difficult for ourselves. I go down to my prayer room. I have a little room down there, you know, because some people have that in their house. They have a room where they offer their prayers. No, even if you wake up, if you're a guy, right, you wake up in your boxer shorts, right? Even if you wake up in your boxers, 20 minutes before the sun, run quickly, make wudu, and you start offering your night prayers. Because for you, you're a guy, you're covered. For a sister, though, no. Even if she is in the pitch black in a room all by herself, and she wants to offer prayer, she wants to stand before God and talk to God, she has to observe complete hijab. It's not that, why do I wear hijab? Because of men. No, not because of men. You, for your own nafs, you need the hijab. The only exception is that she doesn't have to wear socks. There's no non-mahrams around, so she's offering the prayer, and she doesn't need socks, but the rest of her, she's covered. So, for me, if I would like to offer the night prayers, then I offer the night prayers, and that's part of my spiritual journey. Make it simple. If I'm able to even recite the first two sets of two, the first, you know, you offer night prayers like Fajr prayers, right? Two sets of two, or sets of two, because it's 11 rakats, sets of two. 8 with the niyat of tahajjud, 2 shafa, 1 witr. Okay, 11 rakats. Even if I offer the first set of 4 before Fajr comes in and then the adhan comes, I still pray the rest of the prayer with the niyat that my prayer is on time. Okay, back to our own point. So I realized that part of my spiritual journey, one of those wajibat, spiritual wajibat, is the night prayer. That's mentioned in the hadith that those who sleep during the night, for instance, people who don't pray the night prayer, when they say they love Allah, they're lying. Why? Allah's talking to Hazrat Musa. He says that, isn't it the case that everyone who loves someone, they want to be alone with their beloved? You don't want to be alone with your beloved? Talk to God by himself? That's not important to you? Just sleep through the night as if anything? These poor people, they're not at that stage. Or other hadith which are really tough when they talk about the night prayer. It's one of those spiritual wajibat. So alhamdulillah, I realized that. I've started praying that. Now the question is this. Why is it that I'm asking Allah, please allow me to pray the night prayer. Allow me to do this consistently. And yet I see I'm not successful to offer the night prayer consistently. Why is that? It's a hadith now. Sometimes you can achieve spiritual positions because Allah deliberately doesn't allow you to get them. Hadith says, you're trying to wake up for the night prayer, Allah puts you back to sleep. I set my alarm clock, Allah puts you back to sleep. Why? Hadith. It says that what happens is, if I give my servant the tawfiq of making the night prayer, arrogance will enter his heart. He'll get impressed with himself. Ujub. And that's worse for me and worse for him. So I keep him from that in order that he not get that. It says that he blames himself afterwards. He's like, why? I made all this effort. Allah must not love the idea. So that feeling of blaming himself and censoring himself, that's better for me than that he offer the night prayer and get arrogant. So for us, inshallah, as soldiers of the Imam, people who want to achieve these things, we have to make sure that if Allah gives us tawfiq to do some of these good things, never, ever should we be impressed with ourselves. We might be grateful to Allah that He gave us tawfiq, but never, ever am I, as a soldier of Imam Mahdi, impressed with myself. Remember we talked about muhasabah the other day, that if I do a good deed, I thank Allah. I don't pat myself on the shoulders. I thank Allah for all the small blessings and small victories. So, even when it comes to spiritual things, let alone the pleasures of this world, Allah doesn't always grant me my duties. I mean, always grant me my dua. But Allah does give me what I need at the proper time. Okay, so the first part of the verse of Quran was that from everything that the people ask, Allah gives. And وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, we can try this ourselves. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to complete them. You wouldn't, if you started counting all of the blessings of Allah, there's no way you'd be like, wow, I just made it to the end of Allah's blessings. Alhamdulillah, I was able to finish it. No, impossible. If we all gathered and all started to count Allah's blessings, we could never do that. The blessings of Allah are too many. We're surrounded by blessings. But what is the verse of Quran that says? It says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَذَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. However, man is unjust and ungrateful. Unjust and ungrateful. So the people of the dunya, they have this trait. Allah has surrounded them and all of us with blessings. If you count those blessings, there's no way to come to the end of the blessings. And the majority of us are oppressors, thalum, and ungrateful, kafar. So I mentioned before that this causes us to lose blessings. If we don't have the state of being shakir, sometimes we wonder why it is that I'm going through difficulty in life. Why it is that I'm facing so much hardship. Part of the reason that people like myself and you guys, we face hardship is because we're not grateful. Allah takes away blessings to people who don't appreciate them. Allah takes your blessings away. This is Surah 14 and it's verse number 7. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will definitely increase your blessings. If you're grateful, I will definitely increase you in blessings. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ. And if you're ungrateful, إِنَّ عَذَابِي شَدِيدٌ. My punishment is terrible. That's how it works. If I'm grateful, if I have the state, the maqam of being shakir, appreciating the many blessings that Allah has given me, then Allah keeps those blessings, rather He increases those blessings for me. But for people who don't appreciate what Allah has done for them, don't feel that Allah is loving and kind to them, those people know Allah takes it away. So this is a hadith now from Amirul Mu'mineen. He says that when you get blessings, do what he calls have goodly companionship with these blessings. I'll explain what apparently the Imam means. All of us are surrounded by blessings. All of us are surrounded by blessings. But Allah has expectations once He puts those blessings in my life. If I behave according to the instructions of the Ahlul Bayt with the many blessings that I've been given, then Alhamdulillah, those blessings will continue to be there. He says, if you don't do this, or do this before your blessings depart. When you don't do this, you're ungrateful, Allah takes away those blessings. Does He only take away the blessings? Let's say, for instance, I had the blessing of health. I don't consider myself favored for that. I don't thank Allah for that. Allah snatches my health away, and then I suffer in this world because I'm sick for the rest of my days. Is that all that happens? No, the Imam explains. He says that in addition to Allah removing those blessings from you and you suffering in this world, the blessings bear witness against you. The same blessings that Allah had given you, you don't appreciate them, you don't consider yourself surrounded by blessings, even though Allah has favored you, you don't like that. Well then Allah will strip you of those blessings, and those same blessings on the Day of Judgment will come to Allah. Oh Allah, we were there in this man or this woman's life. They didn't appreciate it. They misused us. They used us to harm your deen, to harm themselves, to harm other believers or non-believers. The blessings will testify against us. So that's a little bit about what it's like to be one of the people of the dunya. I don't appreciate blessings, don't consider myself surrounded by blessings, don't use the blessings properly, I'm not grateful. How can I achieve, though, the state of being shakir? That I appreciate Allah. I have that love of Allah. Many of us, all of us, would love to have our hearts filled with divine love. Our hearts filled with love of Allah. Instead of disobeying Allah, appreciating Allah, wanting Allah, feeling that Allah is in our lives, going through life with somebody instead of going through life alone. Who wouldn't want to have that? How do I get that? How do I get divine love so I can get rid of this love of the dunya? How do I get that? Once Hazrat Dawood, our Prophet Dawood, David, he was talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah told him, he said that, Dawood, love me and make the people love me. Love me and make the people love me. He said, oh Allah, you're the most beloved of all beings to me. I love you, I appreciate you, I want you, I feel happy with you, but how can I make others love you? How can I change somebody else's heart? You can't force the religion on anybody. How can I make somebody else love you? He said, remind them of my blessings. Remind them of how much I've been kind to them. This will make the person feel love of me. And the person, I become beloved to that person. So how can I achieve this? The state of being shakir. The state of, we've heard in the hadith, and this is a hadith that we hear a lot. It says that, إِنَّ قَوْمًا عَبَدُ اللَّهِ. There's a group of people who worship Allah, رَغْبَةً. There's some people who worship Allah out of desire. I know that if I worship Allah, Allah will grant me the good of this world, the good of the next world, the blessings of paradise. I worship Allah because I want those things. And then we're told, تِلْكَ عِبَادَةُ التُّجَّارِ. This is the worship of businessmen. If I worship Allah, if I obey Allah, I don't do the right thing, I don't destroy myself in this world, Allah will give me many blessings. In this world, first, I'll enjoy this world more, and then the hereafter. That's the worship of businessmen. People who are smart, able to make a good calculation, all I have to do is be patient for the 60 years, 70 years that I'm here on the earth. After that, I get the good of this world, and then the next. Then there's another level. It's explained in the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, some people worship Allah khawfan. There's some people who worship Allah out of fear. Simply out of fear of God. Because if I don't do what Allah says, Allah will definitely burn me in the hellfire. Definitely. I will be the charcoal of the hellfire. And that's how it is. Sometimes people ask, well, why is it that Allah would burn me in hell forever? We have in the hadith, they say, because the niyat of the sinner, the bad person, inshallah, not, this is not us, doesn't apply to us, but some people, you know, they'll stay in hell forever. Some people will burn in hell for years. Some people, even for 100 years on one particular sin, they die without tawbah, they don't care about Allah. For 100 years, they'll be punished for a particular sin. But why is it that some people will burn in hell forever? And why is it, the question was also, or the hadith was also, that why is it that people will remain in paradise forever? The Imam says, or the Ma'asum says, it's because, okay, if we can get people to, brothers, to come forward a little bit. Salawat bar Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So why is it that some people will burn in hell forever? Why is it that people will reside in paradise forever? What we're explained to in the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt is that this goes back to your niyat. There are some people whose niyat was to worship Allah forever, to continue doing what Allah wanted forever. There are some people whose niyat was to continue violating Allah's laws forever. The other thing is that hell is the result of my actions. Hell is the result of my actions. Sometimes, this is a discussion amongst ulama, what does it mean that, for instance, when I eat or partake in the property of a yatim, that Allah will fill my heart with fire? There's some ulama who explain in this way. Right now, in this world, you doing that sin is creating that fire in you. You just don't know. So it's not that Allah is torturing you or doing something bad to you or harming you. When you're going to the hell, it's because of your actions. You create your own hell. You create your own punishments. So some people, they say, okay, why is it that I obey Allah's laws? Why is it that I don't have the guts to violate Allah's laws and trample them with impunity? The reason is that if I do that, I will burn in the hellfire. And I don't have the ability to burn in the hellfire. I can't take that. So this is one level, but this is the worship of slaves. There's an even higher level than this. And that doesn't mean that for somebody like me, because I do it for one of those two reasons. Either because I don't want to burn in hell, or sometimes I would like to do a sin, but I'm like, no, but I might like to do that sin, but I don't want to be burned in the hellfire. So I avoid that. Or I do want that reward. So I act in accordance to that. So somebody like me, when I see that I'm at one of these two lower stages, should I feel hopeless? You know, I don't have that higher stage we're going to talk about. I don't have that. The level I'm at is so weak, it's worthless. No, that's good. That's alhamdulillah, I have that level of iman. But still, there are higher levels. We want to have spiritual ambition. That's what we're talking about for these days. So what's the higher level? There's another group of people. وَإِنَّ قَوْمًا عَبَدُ اللَّهِ شُكْرًا. There's some people who worship Allah out of gratitude. I am so happy. I feel Allah's favored me. He's blessed me. This drives me to worship Allah. Even if it wasn't the hellfire, even if there wasn't paradise, I love Allah, I appreciate Allah. And that ibadah is the ibadah of the ahrar, the worship of free people. So how can I get to these higher levels of spirituality to be one of the people who's shakir, grateful, the worship of the free people, a little bit closer to Amirul Mu'mineen? What can I do from a practical level to escape this trait, to remove this disease from my heart, and get to that higher level? We're trying to make this practical. So I will mention some examples, but again, because all of us, when we come to the majlis of Imam Hussein, for us, there is both an emotional part, but then there's also a part where we just think, and thinking is worship. We're going to try and apply these teachings of the Ahlul Bayt to ourselves, and see how it applies to us. So some of my examples might not apply to you. When you hear the words of the Ahlul Bayt, you think, how could this apply to me? So I'll give some examples. The first one is this: let's make sure we all see ourselves as surrounded by blessings of Allah. When we're told in the Quran that if you count the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to complete those blessings, that you count all of the blessings, let's start by counting the blessings of Allah in our lives. So alhamdulillah, Allah has granted me health. Allah, alhamdulillah, I have enough money to take care of myself. If I'm younger, I've got parents. If I'm older, I have a job. If I've been successful, I went to school. If I'm married, I have a spouse, right? I start counting these things. But if we really want to start appreciating the blessings of Allah, go a little bit further. Let's count the blessings of Allah in detail. In detail. Instead of just saying health, no, let's start to look at it. Alhamdulillah, I have eyes. Alhamdulillah, I can see. If you really want to feel the blessings of Allah, look at those who don't have these same blessings. Right? Who don't have these blessings. We're counting in detail now, right? Look at those who don't have these same blessings. We're going to go over some more of the blessings, but this is another hadith of the Ahlul Bayt. The hadith says that if you want to be content, you want to feel good, you want to feel good about what Allah has given you, look at those who have less than you. We have in the hadith, if you see someone who's afflicted, someone who's going through problems and issues, then under your breath, you see that problem, say alhamdulillah, that Allah hasn't afflicted me. Don't say it out loud, you know, you see me break my leg, I'm skiing, I break my leg, you know, alhamdulillah, God! No, but under your breath, Allah didn't break your leg, for instance. Allah didn't create you deformed, for instance. Allah didn't make you have a car crash, for instance. Allah didn't take you out of your job, for instance. You still have a house, you're not homeless, for instance.
All of these things, whenever you see somebody else who's afflicted, you look into your own life, you count that as a blessing. I still have that. So let's go in detail now. Allah has favored me with health. Allah has favored me with youth. Allah has favored me with having all of the different blessings, everybody, in your own life. A job, respect. There's some people who are not respected, who get mistreated. Everybody, just go into your own life and in detail now. The more details we're able to come up with, the more we'll feel blessed. So let's start counting these blessings. Now, the other thing for us to remember is that the feeling of wealth or being rich or having enough or being content is actually a feeling inside our hearts. It's not something that you can get. Money can't buy you happiness. When they say money can't buy you happiness, wealth and that feeling of having enough, that doesn't come by external blessings. This is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, "Waj'al Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Waj'al ghinaya fi nafsi. Oh Allah, make that feeling of wealth be in my own soul and in my own nafs. Wealth and the feeling of having, of being grateful to Allah, of having enough, that Allah's blessed me, Allah's favored me, that's not from the outside world. There are people who are rich and not content and not happy. There's no amount of money or things or products. If only I had this, if only I had this much money, if only I got a raise, I would finally feel that sense of satisfaction. It's impossible. When do you feel it? Internally. When I feel blessed, I start counting those blessings, Allah's favored me, it's enough, that's when I will feel that sense of contentment. So I want that stage of qana'ah, I want that stage of being shakir, of having shukr, that's going to start with me working on myself, looking to see what Allah's favored with me, going through details, realizing that it's only going to happen when I'm content, no matter how much wealth I had. That could never satisfy me because we were created for God. We have in some of the hadith, that hadith Qudsi, that Allah says that, O son of Adam, I've created this world, everything that's in this world for you, and I've created you for me. I've created you for me. The only thing that will make you and I filled up on the inside is God. We have in the hadith that if you, a person is to be given a valley of gold, two mountains, right? Between them is a valley. That valley was to be filled up with gold. Even if I had a valley of gold, I would want another valley. Because I'm created, Allah put in my soul, I'm looking for the unlimited. This dunya, no matter how much of the dunya I get, if I'm just looking to satisfy, to fill that hole in myself with dunya, the entire dunya isn't enough for me. You know how many rich people there are who feel nervous about their financial situation? You would think, okay, well, you're Rockefeller, you're Bill Gates. Everything must be going great for you. You have enough money. You have so much money. If I had your amount of money, I would be so happy. But it doesn't work like that. That feeling of inner calm, that comes through your relationship with God. Allah bidhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub. It is only with the remembrance of Allah that hearts become at ease. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ذَنْكَ. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, doesn't have a good relationship with God, doesn't feel content with the blessings Allah has given him, that person, he or she, will have a difficult life in this world. That's how it works. I want to feel that state. I've got to start counting those blessings and feel that sense of contentment. Allah's given me more than enough. And there's some people who are like that. They really don't envy anybody else. If Allah gives them other blessings, alhamdulillah, but they really, you can sit with them and talk with them. They don't wish they had what you had. You know what's interesting? Is when you meet some of those people and they're really poor and really happy. Really, really happy. There was a time Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam went to a man. And this man from what I remember of the hadith, was like a leper, diseased. And he was just talking about how Allah has favored me more than anybody else. It's like, what hasn't happened to you? It's like, no, Allah, the love of Allah is in my heart. There's nobody else who's more favored. Some people, even though they're going through difficulty, they really feel blessed. They're happy. They're at ease. One of the Urafa, one of our ulama, he had several problems going on. I'm talking about health issues and these kind of things in his life. I think one problem was this, that his eyes were bothering him. And the other one was he had an ailment in his legs. So he made a dua and Allah granted him that. Some of the people were close to him were like, why don't you make a dua that Allah cure your legs? He's like, no, this one's okay. This one's okay. Internally, he's happy. No, my relationship with God is straight. I feel favored. It's an internal state. So one of them is that. I start counting those blessings of Allah in detail, everybody in his own life, his or her own life, and find out what Allah has. Feel myself to be surrounded by divine blessings. Look at those who are less fortunate. Associate with those who are less fortunate. Spend time with the fuqara, with the poor people. There's another one too though. This is a problem that can apply to people like me. There's some people who are waiting for their problems to be solved, for their difficulty to be taken away from their life, and then I can relax and have a good relationship with God. Oh Allah, once I retire and the kids are married and they go off to school, oh Allah, once I get over these exams and I get my degree and I start my job, at that time I'll have the state of being content with you. Oh Allah, if I could just get through school. Oh Allah, if I could just... I'm waiting. I think that if I could just have these problems which I'm dealing with, over with, then I could have that great relationship with God. I could see myself as being surrounded by blessings. How, you know, they say that some news is, you know, like tough love, right? Just got to tell you how it is. It's problematic, but I'll tell you how it is. Everybody is going through problems. If you're waiting for that to happen, that's never going to happen. If you're waiting for the time when finally my problems will be solved, I'll pay off my debts, I'll pay off my house, I'll pay off my car, I'll send these kids to school, I'll retire, I'll stop working, I'll sit in the bank, I'll relax at that time, yes, I can finally relax. That's never going to happen. Ever. Verse of Quran. This is Surah 90 and it's verse number 4. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي كَبَدْ. We've created man in difficulty. There's always a test. Till the end. Everybody's going through tests and difficulties. Wow, okay. Well, if that's the case, why not enjoy the ride? Instead of waiting for the journey to end, when I have everything solved, I'm 65, then I can relax and enjoy having a good relationship with God. Instead of doing that, enjoy the ride. Sit back, relax. Allah's doing this. Allah's testing you. Relax, enjoy. Think about the blessings you do have. Those who are less fortunate, have that good relationship with God right now. Because that's never going to come, that stage. Right? So instead of waiting to be grateful, start to be grateful now. Last blessing, or last way that we can... before I forget that. There's a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen. This one is really important for self-development. He says that the shukr of kullu ni'mat, thanking Allah for every blessing, is this, that you avoid maharam Allah. You avoid haram. I want to be shakir. I want to attain that stage, the maqam of being shakir. One of the things I'm supposed to do is I'm not supposed to use the blessings of Allah against Him. Allah's given me eyes to see, and I look at things Allah doesn't want me to see. Allah's given me ears. Allah's given me hands. I touch non-mahrams. I'm not one of those people who's careful about this. Allah's given me wealth. I don't spend that wealth in the way of Allah. I don't give my khums. Allah's given me position. Instead of using my position to help out others, that position becomes something, a blessing which is going to testify against me on the last day. I become arrogant because Allah has blessed me. So how can I, if I want to achieve the state of being shakir, how can I do that? I'm not supposed to take those same blessings and use them against Allah. You gotta have nerves of steel to do that. The blessings that Allah's given you, use them to violate Allah's laws. The talent Allah's given you, to hurt others. Knowing we have to go back to God and explain to Him everything that we've done. Okay, that's just a side point. One other point. When we think about those blessings in Allah and we go with detail, and we think about the idea that I have parents, I have, right? There's some people, even for our younger soldiers or our sisters who are there, there's some little kids who are, even though they might be your age, are actually working. Having parents is a blessing. Having a house over your head. You know there are others who are so poor, they may live in a cardboard box. There's others, there are people who suffer. There are people who don't have security. When they go to school, there's a possibility they don't come home from school. They just had it in the news, I think it was today, how Taliban went and they blew up a girl's school. I believe it's in Pakistan. Right? Go to school. You don't even have security going to school. You have that blessing. For those of us who have parents, for those of us who have children, there are some people who no matter what can't have children. You know, somebody like me, maybe I get irritated. My children, you know, they're a little bit knuckleheads, for instance. You know, they don't listen to me. They don't obey. They're not the best in school. Right? Some people can't have children. Some people can't have children. They would give anything to be able to have children. Some people aren't married, don't have a spouse. There's some people, the reason they have problems with their spouse is they, instead of counting the good things that their spouse does, they always are complaining and thinking what their spouse doesn't do. My husband or my wife doesn't do this, doesn't do that. Nagging the person. You know that people generally respond to praise better than they do complaining, right? If you come over to me and the person you're like, Sheikh Usama, you know, you don't dress very nicely. Okay, thank you. You know, you talk too loud. Thank you. Right? But if you would come over, you give me a little bit of, you know, a booster, you know. MashaAllah, Sheikh Usama, I really... And I'm like, alhamdulillah. Right? People appreciate praise more. What about our spouse? Our spouse doesn't appreciate praise more? If we were to find out, think about it. We're crowning the blessings in Allah. My spouse, alhamdulillah, there's somebody who loves the Ahlul Bayt. Somebody who's Sheikh, somebody who works and provides for his family. Somebody who cares about his children. My wife takes care of the, she cooks for me. She doesn't have to, it's not wajib, right? So we just go through all of those details. So, now that I'm counting those physical blessings, I'm trying to count as many of them as I can, realizing all of these things are favors from Allah. But if I want to thank God, this is one more point too. If I want to thank Allah for the blessings, it's not enough for me only to avoid the haram, as I was talking about before, not using those blessings in haram. Not only enough for me to qalban in my heart to think of myself as being favored, I also have to thank the means of Allah getting those blessings to me. I also have to thank the means. For instance, if someone does good to you, right, this is a blessing, a way of Allah getting His blessings to you, you have to thank that person if you want to thank God. Imam Sajjad says that on the Day of Judgment, there will be a servant who will be brought before Allah. And Allah will ask him, how come you didn't thank me? You weren't shakir, you didn't appreciate what I had given, what I had given you. He said, actually I did thank you, Allah. He said that, actually no you didn't. There was an individual who caused that blessing to come into your life. You didn't thank that individual, so you didn't thank me. Being grateful to Allah, having the maqam of being shakir means that I thank those who Allah uses as a means of getting blessings into my life. That's how it works. So, I thank my children, I thank my parents, I thank everybody, whoever Allah uses as a means of getting blessings to me. But I want to mention something else that I feel is really important. When I count the blessings in my life, I don't want to only count the physical, tangible blessings in my life. I count my health, that's great. My youth, I don't only count those tangible physical blessings. We have immaterial, spiritual blessings that Allah has favored us with, that we need to thank Allah for. We thank Allah for. The blessing of Islam, the blessing of being a follower of the Ahlul Bayt, the blessing of the tawfiq to come to the majlis of Imam Hussein. Allah's honored, He's chosen you. Not in an arrogant way. He could have had you anywhere. He allowed you to love the Ahlul Bayt. That deep down in the bottom of your heart, you really appreciate the Ahlul Bayt. There is a time when we will appreciate what the love of the Ahlul Bayt means. For somebody like me, maybe Islam is sometimes a burden. I don't appreciate how wonderful Allah has been to me because Allah has given me, granted me, favored me with the love of the Ahlul Bayt. But there will be a day when I'll appreciate it. There will be a day when I will be so happy and so grateful. On the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, one of the companions came to the Imam and he said, came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He came to the Imam and he said, Hadithni, give me a hadith. Hadithni bi hadithin fi fadli Fatima. Tell me a hadith about the merit, the fada'il, the merit of Hazrat Fatima. Tell me one hadith about that. He says that when I tell this hadith to the Shia rejoice when they hear this hadith. Tell me a hadith, just one hadith, about your grandmother, Hazrat Fatima, which the Shia hear, when they hear this, they rejoice. I want to know what the value of Islam is in this world. So that not only do I count my physical blessings, but the greatest of all blessings, love of Allah, love of His Prophet, love of the Messenger. I want to be a soldier of the Imam. I'm a Shia of the Ahlul Bayt. What blessing is that? The hadith is long. There's one part of it though, and this is the part that I wanted to mention. They say that on that day, on the day of judgment, Allah will tell everybody, imagine that you're on the plains on the day of judgment, because you know Allah will make the world into a large plain. Everybody will be standing there and you won't have any clothing on. Everybody will be taking account, right? Everybody in one huge field, and either you're going to paradise or hell. People won't even be talking, just whispering to each other and taking account. So on that day, on the day of judgment, Allah will tell Hazrat Fatima to come. And He will tell everybody who's there to on the mahshar, to lower your gaze, lower your head. Fatima is about to pass. She will have one of the steeds of paradise. An angel Jibreel will be leading that steed. On one side of her will be 100,000 angels. On the other side of her will be 100,000 angels. And she'll be making her way to paradise through the mahshar on the wings of angels. They say up until Hazrat Fatima will come to the door of paradise. When she comes to the door of paradise, then Hazrat Fatima, instead of entering paradise, will turn back. She'll turn back. She's looking now at the mahshar. Allah will say, O daughter of my beloved, Bint Habibi, daughter of my beloved, daughter of Muhammad, I've granted you paradise, I'm calling you to enter paradise. How come you're not entering? She says that, O my Lord, I would love that the people get to know my rank and my station on this day. On that day we'll know what the rank of Fatima is. Rank of Fatima is. He says, okay, I want you to go back, and anybody who has in his heart hubban laki aw dhurriyatik, anybody who has a little bit of love for you or your children, you take that person by the hand and you bring them to paradise. On that day we'll understand how much it is have love of the Ahlul Bayt, the tawfiq Allah has given us to be in these majalis. They say that after that, Hazrat Fatima will be like a bird, the same way that a bird is picking like the seeds, the good ones from the back, she'll be reaching and over there, and she'll be taking the Shias out of the people and removing them and bringing them to come to paradise. all of the Shia. And that day, we'll appreciate how much Allah has favored us by having the love of this family in our hearts. So she'll gather all of the Shia. So now all of the Shia are moving with Hazrat Fatima. All of the Shia get to the door of paradise. The Shia get to the door of paradise, and at this stage, Allah will cast in the hearts of the Shia. The Shia won't enter paradise. They'll turn back to the Mahshar and start looking over there on the Mahshar. He says, why, oh my ahibba'i, beloved? He says, why is it that you haven't entered paradise? They said that we, Allah, would like to know our value on this day. We aren't Fatima, we're just the lovers. We had a little bit of the love of Fatima in our hearts. What is our position on the Day of Judgment? Allah will say that, look at whoever gave you food, لِحُبِّ Fatima. Maybe there was somebody, they said, oh, this person loves Fatima. Okay. Let me give this person a little bit of food. They're a Shia, let me invite this person to my house. Just because of the love of the offering you food for the love of Fatima, you rescue that person. Look at the person, whoever gave you clothing, because of the love of Fatima, you rescue that person. Whoever gave you a drink because of the love of Fatima, you do shafa'a for that person. Whoever saw somebody backbiting you, you weren't present. Somebody was talking bad about you. They said, how can somebody talk bad about this person? This person is one of the lovers of Fatima. They rejected that person doing ghiba and backbiting of you. That person also you do shafa'a for that person. That is the status of being a lover of the Ahlul Bayt. Just having a little bit of the love of Fatima in your heart. The love of the Prophet and his family. What is it like if you're one of the enemies of this family? What is it like if you cause harm to this family? We want to go now to Karbala.
Karbala.
You remember, as Imam Hassan told Imam Hussein, he said, La yawm ka yawmaka Aba Abdullah. There's no day like your day, Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein was crying at the musibat of his brother. He said, there's no day like your day. There were many masaib on that day. But one of the most terrible of the masaib for the Imam was the death of his son Ali Akbar. That was a musibah, the musibah of losing your son, your beloved. That was a musibah even Allah didn't test Ibrahim with. Allah had mercy on Ibrahim in his old age. He didn't make him sacrifice his own son. But Allah tested Imam Hussein in that way. Imam Hussein loved Ali Akbar so much that when he used to look at Ali Akbar, and Ali Akbar looked like the Prophet of Allah. When he talked like the Prophet of Allah. His akhlaq and his mannerism was like the mannerism of the Prophet of Allah. And Imam Hussein would benefit just by looking at him. Ali Akbar was an excellent son, a wonderful son. As they were marching towards Karbala, the Imam started to doze off. When he dozed off, he had a dream. He woke up saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ali Akbar looked at him, he said, Father, what's the problem? He said that I had a dream that in these people are traveling and death is traveling to meet these people. He said, Father, are we not on the right path? He said, yes, we're on the right path. He said, then we're not worried about death as long as we're on the right path. He said, may Allah give you the best reward any son could be given on behalf of his father. The Imam loved Ali Akbar. But on the day of Ashura, on the day after all of the companions had passed, Ali Akbar was the first of the Ahlul Bayt, according to some of the traditions, who came to the Imam and asked him for permission to fight. The Imam told him, Wallah, ya'izzu alayka faraki, that it's difficult for me to see you abandon me, to see you go to the battlefield. He said, Father, how can I not abandon you when you are alone without any helpers? The Imam started to cry, and Ali Akbar started to go off to the enemy, to face the enemy. The Imam raised his hands towards heaven. He said, O Allah, ishhad ala haula al-qawm. O Allah, bear witness against these people. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ مَنْتِقًا this boy who's going out to fight them, there's nobody like him who looks like the Prophet of Allah, who talks like the Prophet of Allah. He's going out to fight these individuals. He went out and he started to fight. They said when Ali Akbar left, the women gathered around him. Ali Akbar paid no attention to them. He went out reciting poetry. He came out and started fighting the enemy, fighting bravely, killing so many of the enemy. He came back to his father after being wounded. He came back to his father. He said, "Father, inna al-atash qad qatalani. The thirst is killing me. Is there any way I could get a little bit of water, be able to fight in your way?" He said, "Isbir habibi, be patient, my beloved one. Surely your grandfather will give you a cup of water." Ali Akbar went back out. He started to fight the enemy again. He started to fight. He fought as hard as he could till finally they say an arrow came and lodged itself in Ali Akbar's throat. Another enemy attacked Ali Akbar by the side and split his head open. Ali Akbar fell forward onto his horse and his horse charged blindly into the enemy. Ali Akbar killed so many of the enemy. At this age, they got a chance for revenge. Ahatu bih. They surrounded Ali Akbar. وَقَطَعُوهُ بِسُيُوفِهِمْ إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. They cut Ali Akbar to pieces with their swords. At this stage, Ali Akbar called out with a loud voice. He said to his father, "Assalamu alayka ya abati." I pass salams to you, my father. "Inna hadha jaddi." This is my grandfather. He's giving me water. Imam Hussein saw this. He came out. He charged out. He separated the enemy from his son. And he came back to his son. He came as he was walking. He said, "Waladi Ali." Oh, my son Ali. He just kept repeating that till he came near to the body of his son. He threw himself off of his horse onto the body of his son. He said, "Qatala Allah qawman qataluk." May Allah kill these people who killed you. "Ala dunya ba'daka al-afa." There'll be dust on the dunya after you. He started to wipe the blood and dirt off of Ali Akbar's face. He said, "Laqad istarahta min ad-dunya." You've relaxed. You've been able to escape from this dunya. "Wa baqiya abuk." And your father's left. "Wahidan farida." Your father's all alone. He started to cry so loudly, the enemy hadn't seen him cry like that. They say at this time, then Zainab came running out of the tent, screaming, shouting, "Ya Habiba! Ya Thamarata Fuada!" She came out running and she threw herself on the body of Ali Akbar. Imam Hussein, Bakal Hussein li Bukaiha. Imam Hussein started to cry because she started to cry. And he led her back to the tents. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, that Allah make us the true soldiers of the Imam of our time. That when it comes our time to sacrifice, that we have a chance to be Ali Akbars and give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah that Allah give us the tawfiq to purify ourselves. We ask that Allah protect all of the believers, all of the maraja, and especially the leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei.